I'm just started. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Okay, the story so far. In last week's thrilling episode, we finished the Gimel Shvachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going through the Shmoneh Esrei, and we're trying to make the Shmoneh Esrei talk to us, relevant to us, using this methodology that we call Musar V'Yisairis. And now we're reaching the main part of the davening, the main part of our tefillah, from Atochein to Shema Kaleinu. These are our 13 requests. I just want to remind you, at the beginning of the year, we gave a definition of tefillah. And we said, tefillah is defined as, and you remember? Go for it. Unbelievable, okay? Nobody needs to hear beautiful Tvatur just beforehand. Josh, but this is, he said exactly. The Creator, standing in front of the Creator, that's us, standing in front of Hashem, saying, I cannot survive without you. I need you to exist. So, when we spoke last week about the Gimel Rishonos, so that's the Shevach, that's the build-up. And basically we said, to be able to relate to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and to be able to see Him, and to be able to praise Him, and to be able to connect to Him, we need three things. Avos is the roots. Gvurois is where everything is going to. And Kedusha is how high we can reach. Remember that? Those are the three steps. Avos is our root. Gvurois, Melach, Meimis, and Mechaya is where everything is going to. And then finally, you have Atzal Kodesh, Vashimcha Kodesh. That's how high we can reach. We can reach to the sky. We can become Kedoshim. And with these three beautiful, beautiful Shevachs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how Klal Yisrael relates to it, we're now ready to begin our requests. So, let me make a little introductory point. Number one in Judaism is always, always significant. Number one in Judaism is not just number one in a series. In mathematics, one is by chance the number that comes before two. It just works out that way. In Judaism, number one is always the foundation block. Whenever you choose the first has in it, so to speak, the genetic material, the spiritual genetic material of everything that comes after it. So Rosh Hashanah is the microcosm of the whole year. Rosh Chodesh does it for the month. And similarly, when you approach something for the first time, you see, Be'etzem, everything can boil down to this number one. So now we are looking at our 13 requests. 13 is Gematria Echad. It is a unity. It is a perfection. It is a totality of man's needs. We stand in front of a God. What is our first request? It's going to be something that is going to be crucial. It's got to be something that is totally vital. And the answer is, our first request is? What? Well, Chachma, Das, Bina, all kinds of good things. So I'm going to say it differently. I agree with everything you've said, I just want to say it differently. The very first need that we have, which is the foundation need, where all other needs are included in that need, is the very first need that I need is to be me. The first thing that is vital is that I have to be able to be who I am. So let me explain to you a little bit what that means. And I ask you, who are you? What makes you you? What is your inner Joshness, or whatever it may be? There's a whole pack of Joshes right over here. Scary. We'll take an easier case. What makes Avery Avery? Scary thought, eh? Some of your friends are breaking into hives over here. Okay, well, what is it? What makes you you? So if it's Yossi cement, it's kind of simple to figure these things out. Not much. But the point is, no, just kidding, chas v'shalom. I'm saying, what makes you you? So, I want to ask you something. Are you your neshama? Why not? The what? Exactly. Every morning you say, Lakai, Neshama Shinasata Ditoherihi, etc., etc., etc. So you talk to God and you thank Him for giving you Neshama. I guess, like, you know, whatever, if a car could speak, it would thank the driver for giving gasoline. Okay, so it makes me run. So you're giving me every day Neshama, you take it away, you give it back, you take it away. The Neshama sounds like it's a Kodesh Baruch who lends it to us and takes it from us at His whim and fancy. So we are not our neshama. Are we our guf? Why? Because the guf is just like a sack, right? Well, it's a bag that contains neshama. A guf is something that's on its own. It's basically inanimate. So what are we? Go ahead. Well, neither on its own has the neshama is outside of me. Kielu, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The guf is just a guf. It's just a body. So what are you? I want to use the language of the Ramchal. Go ahead, please. Well, that's where I'm getting to. The you is the way that the two parts, the neshama and the guf, is the way that they create friction with each other. It is the tension between them. The you is how these two parts come together. So when I ask you who you are, it is be'etzem how you deal with these two things coming together, and they have what's called like an interface, and then that interface is all the tension and all the who's in the driving seat and who's in control. In that makom is called you. So you may have heard me say this before, but I love this gematria. We say that ratzon is gematria makar. Makar is your essence. Makar is the source of who you are. Ratzon is I want. So when a person says I want, it's a very, very special moment. And if you can strip away all the pressures that are making you making your choices, a lot of your choices you make is peer pressure. A lot of the choices you make can be predicted by knowing where you're coming from and what's surrounding you. But there's always a certain moment when everything gets stripped away and you say I, and that moment I want, that's the you coming out. That's a huge, powerful thing where you are bringing out that what is the I, my rotzom. So it comes out. Another way of saying what I'm saying is that the me, myself, I is going to be how you make choices. Or, and these are all different synonyms, they all feed off each other, is a man's bechira, man's ability to make choices. That's what makes him alive, that's what makes him a person, that's what makes him human. That's what makes him Adam. That's the oimek of the Ramban's question on Paroi. The oimek of the question that Ramban says, how can you take away Paroi's bechira chashis? Is ba'aymek ki'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when I create man, I make an agreement with man, I give you the ability to make choices. And this is something, I'm going to make a statement, it sounds provocative, but the more you think about it, the more it has to be. The reason why my life has meaning is because I have the right to reject the existence of God. Since I have the option of kfira, and therefore, everything I choose has meaning. Everything I do is actually something that is worthwhile. So the bottom line is, man is his choices. Man is the way that he navigates between his higher neshama and his lower guf, and how he works through the contradiction between them, and how they fight with each other. There was a René Descartes. He was a French philosopher. And he used to say, je pense, donc je suis. Yeah, go say it in Latin.
Cogito ergo sum. I think before
I am. Yeah. It sounds like you're about to mug me. I feel like I'm just like in some Puerto Rican neighborhood in Colombia. Whatever. Anyhow, whatever. That makes sense. A Puerto Rican neighborhood in Colombia? That was wrong. But whatever it is. Say it again. Say that again. It was good.
Cogito ergo sum.
Okay. You take cash? Okay, whatever it is. Anyhow, wow, it's interesting. Okay, that's good. Okay, but I thought it was, very good. Woo! Impressed. Okay, so that's it. But the thing is, you know, I think, therefore I am, that's not enough. Because thinking is all inside. It's more how the thinking expresses itself in how I go from the world of thought to the world of choices. That's where the I comes out. So here is something incredible, because you and I take for granted that we make choices. You and I take for granted that we can think. You and I take for granted that we can, just like because yesterday I was smart. If you're a Torah Shraga boy, so basically you're all smart. And I know it's hard for me to be nice, and looking around, yeah, you guys are pretty smart. Okay, my guys and my shir, more or less. I mean, some of them are from Kansas, whatever it is. But the point is, at the end of the day, it doesn't make any difference. You guys are all smart. So this is how it works. you assume that if you were smart yesterday, you're going to be smart tomorrow. It's not that way. It's pashut not that way. Ata chaynein la'adam das. What does the word chaynein mean? You grant. You give something graciousness. Where does the word chaynein come from? Chayn. Where does the word chayn also come from? When I say the word chayn is an interesting word. In English, we say chayn means your charm. You say this is a charming person. But what makes a person have charm? What makes Esther, wherever it is, you put us into the Purim mood. It's Abramson, Rabbi Ansi. Yeah, it's the Purim mood. What gave Esther charm? What gave her chayn? We don't know. But by definition, we don't know. If it was her beauty, just say she was beautiful. If it was the way she spoke, then say it the way she spoke. The point about the charm is that you can't define it, because it comes from which word? Well, what am I looking for? Chinam, thank you very much, okay? It comes from the word chinam. Chinam means it does not exist. It's not there. So, ata chaynein, you give us a gift, la'adam to man, das, the ability to think. This means that be'etzem, our ability to have das, comes from nowhere. So I want to show you something incredible, is that if you look in Parashat Kisitsa, where Kadosh Baruch Hu is talking about how he's going to fill Bitzalel with Chachma, with Tfuna and Das, I can't remember the exact Lashon. So Rashi goes through and explains what is Chachma, Bina, and Das. When it comes to Das, he uses two words. Anybody know? Rashi on Das in Parashat Kisitsa, the words he uses is Ruach HaKodesh. Now I'm sure this has a deeper meaning, but on the most simplest level, Das is a gift we get from beyond ourselves. It is what we call an inspiration from above. So Ata Chayin, you give us as a gift, La'adam, to man. The word Adam is man at its most elevated. Adam, Adam, is the elevated dimension of man. Ata Chayin La'adam Das. So I just want to share with you a quick story, is that 25 years ago, whatever it was, when I was a bacher, when I was a single bacher, learning here in the city, so a terrible tragedy happened. There was a fellow, it's possible you could figure out who it is, but it doesn't make any difference. The fellow is my age now. He's a fellow who had who was just like any of us, just like any of us, a regular yeshiva guy. He learned in yeshiva here in Yerushalayim that you've all heard of. I'm not going to say, because it's not so important. It could have happened anywhere. He's a regular yeshiva. I was learning in one yeshiva, he was learning in another yeshiva. You know, we would meet, let's say, in town for pizza, whatever it is. One day, he was hit by a bus. And when he was hit by a bus, he fell over and his head hit the curb. And after that, he had brain damage, and he went from being a 19-year-old to being a child, to being having the brain of whatever, the 7-year-old. And in one instant, his life was destroyed. He became whatever, using in the technical medical term, retarded. And at that point then, years and years and years of therapy, over the years he still is taken care of by his parents. Today he's like an 11-year-old. I mean, he's gone a long way, but that's it. His life ceases to exist. He's like, whatever it is, it's just a terrible, terrible thing to see him. He's the sweetest sugar. You meet him, he's the sweetest person. But after a few seconds, you realize this person never has mental problems. So this person is living proof for me how you can't take for granted. Everyone takes for granted. And Baruch Hashem, some of you are very smart in this room. Well, everyone here is smart, Leanne Hara. And some of you, Hashem gave you very, very smart. Some of you, it's so easy to learn Gemara. I was just speaking to one of my Talmidim, you know, like, boom! He looks at it, boom, he gets the whole thing. So you just assume that, you know, Gemara is easy. It's not the way it works. Everything that is really, really, that we can do with our brains is a gift from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So look at this. The very first request that we make is Ata Chaynein La'adam Das. You give us a gift to the elevated thing called man, Adam, Adam Le'elyon, God-like man. You give us Das. And then we continue to say Melamed. Melamed is, so to speak, further brought down. Le'enosh. Enosh is a more primitive expression of man. And Melamed Enosh Bina. Bina, what is Bina? Bina is taking that Das and integrating it. So Bina includes what's called Maven Davar Metech Davar. So you can take the information you get and you can process it and come out with new ideas. You can select what you want. You can discard what you don't want. That's all part of Bina. So Ata Malamed Enish Bina. And then we say Chaneinu Me'itcha, something from you yourself. So we get das from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ruach HaKadosh, Rashi says, Chanimitcha Deya Bina Vahaskil. So this is our first request. Hashem, from you, I want Deya, I want Bina with Vahaskil. There's many different perushim with Deya Bina Vahaskil. The one that speaks to me is that Haskil means the ability to take my das and my Bina, and Haskil means to apply it to the world beyond. So I have Deya, I have Bina, and then I have the ability to use it in the world at large. Baruch Ata Hashem Chayin Hadas. So here we have, in the first bracha of the Shemona Esrei, I am asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the right to be me, for the right to have what's called my yechidus, my individuality, what makes me unique and special. And every so often, I always encourage people to look at the person next to you and to notice how incredibly different he looks from you. And you will secretly think, thank God. But the point is, the fact that his nose is so huge and so splendorous, it's just Hashem's way of saying to you, we are all different. We're all different because we have different destinies, and we have different things we're supposed to bring out from ourselves. And every person has their own journey and their own ladder to climb, or whatever cliche you want to use. It's all true. This is what we have. So every time I take my three steps, and every time I stand with Kadosh Baruch Hu, my first intrinsic need is that whatever I stand for should be brought out. Whatever I am should be. So therefore, I need this das. I need this inspired knowledge from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that comes from Shemayim. And these are the tools I can use to be the maximum me that I can be. The way I do it is with my choices. The way I do it is my exercises, Bechira, and making the right choices. So that is the first bracha of the Shemona Esrei. Now look how beautiful this is. After I've decided I want to be me, I want to have das, I want to make choices, and then I challenge myself, as Rabbi Yonasan Eberschitz says, I challenge myself to use my das for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be an Eved Hashem. Immediately, my next two requests come logically. I ask for tshuva and I ask for slicha. The moment that I realize I want to be me, I feel instantly inadequate. I feel instantly that I need help. I feel instantly unstable. And I go and I ask Hashem for tshuva and for slicha. So let me ask you a question. Why do we need two brachas? Shemona Esrei, everything we ask for is very, very specific. And everything, every bracha is focusing on one unique need of our neshamas and our guf. Why do we need a bracha for tshuva and a bracha for slicha? Any suggestions? Josh, go for it. That's good. But I tell you, I'd be honest with you. If that's what it is, I would have combined it. I want the full thing. Okay, another Josh. Whoever's listening on these tapes probably thinks it's yeshiva and it's called Josh. And it's not so wrong. Go ahead, yeah, again.
They're different things. One's about being forgiven, one's about
it's okay, you're from San Diego, take your time.
One's about being forgiven.
It's good. Let me tell you what you're saying, okay? Let me just ask another famous question. It's a famous question. It could be you heard this at the beginning of the year. You have Rosh Hashanah and you have Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah, you get to meet the king. On Yom Kippur, you get all your sins forgiven. So I want to ask you something. Where's the logic over here? Logic dictates you first should get your sins forgiven and then go to see the king. This is backwards. You first eat Yom Kippur, a day of Slicha Mechila, and you can cleanse yourself of all your sins, and then you stand in front of Baruch Hu and you ask him for forgiveness. And you answer Baruch Hu and you become close to the king. Why is it backwards? So what's the classic answer? Marshal Amada, go ahead, Isaac. Excellent. Okay, so let me give you the mashal. The way that the mashal goes, mashal l'mahadava daimeh, is that a peasant, he sits there making jokes about the king. Inappropriate jokes. So they always say, off with his head, he has insulted the king. But the king was a wise king and says, no, bring him to me. So the peasant is brought from his faraway little village, whatever it may be, and he's brought to the king. And as he gets closer and closer and he sees the glories and the power of the king, he gets more and more nervous, and eventually he breaks down as he enters the palace. And said, if I would have known that this is how glorious the king is, I would have never said those stupid words. And that way, Hashem says we don't need to punish him. He's figured this out on his own. So what we have is Rosh Hashanah is an encounter with the king. Once you encounter the king, then instantly you realize all the stupid things that you've done. And once you're in the palace, then suddenly, so to speak, it's like the Dovr Hashem Oiri, right? It's that, Rosh Shach says Oiri is like a spotlight that goes, have you ever seen these concave mirrors that your mothers use that makes your face look like, you know, like moonscape with oozing volcanoes and all kinds of things? It's horrible. So that's like that, the Oiri, Dovr Hashem Oiri, Rosh Hashanah, everything is like right into your face. And then you say, nah, I need to do spiritual clearasil over here. At that point, then you've got Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur is after you've seen the king, then you can expunge all the dirt. Now, look how logical this whole thing is. You say, you ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, I want to have Bechira. I want to be me. I want to be able to bring out everything I have. At that point, then, you look at yourself and you say, you know, I'm on the wrong journey over here. I'm miles away from the king. The first need is called tshuva. Tshuva means I need to get back on track. Life is a highway, as the Gedolim say, right? Life is a highway. And I'm stuck over here in some side road. I'm here in some gas station over here, whatever it is. I need to get back on the road. So tshuva is saying, I have gone out of focus. Tshuva says, I want to get back on focus. I want to get back to the place that I belong. It happens to us in life all the time. You get sucked in. One of the most stupidest thing. Okay, what's his name? Yossi Simen's thinking, how long can he go without mentioning sports? So I'm not going to mention sports today. I'm not going to mention the helmets. I'm not going to mention the shoulder pads or stretchy pants. Nothing. I'm not going to mention it at all. But if a person would theoretically be sucked into the thing, so you come over here, I need das. And the moment you have das, it's like the story of the emperor with no clothes. It says, what was I thinking? I need to get back on, what am I thinking over here? Why are they getting excited about these things? So you get atta, and it's not just that, it's everything else. It's all the Yitzharas that suck you in. It could be in the intellectual pursuit of a career beyond what is normal and what is necessary. And all kinds of Yitzharas out there. So once you ask Hashem for das, das is an inspired thought. You start thinking clearly, and the first thing that happens when you think clearly is you want to get back home. And that's what Hashivei Nevin L'Sur Secha. I need to get back into reality. I need to get back to the Beis HaMedrash where I can focus on what is real. So that's Hashivei L'Sur Secha. Terror comes first. Once you get back into terror, then the Karvein Makin L'Avodah Secha. Then I can start doing Avodah properly. Then everything becomes down to earth. So that is our second need that comes out of the first. Once you are back home, once you're with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, just like Yom Kippur after Rosh Hashanah, you look at yourself and you see, I stink spiritually. I am riddled with all kinds of imperfections. I need to get them out. So the third bracha is Slach Lanu Kichatanu. Once you're back in reality, once you're back on the highway, you look at yourself and say, I got to get rid of everything. Slach Lanu Kichatanu, Machala Makini Kifashanu, Kikel Mal Selech Va'ata Kaddish Baruch Hu. You will help me cleanse myself, spiritually cleanse. This is something we can do every single day. So you see, Rabbi Isai, the first three brachos of the Shemona Esrei are a trilogy. You first ask, I want to be me. The second thing is, once you are you, once you are making your choices, once you realize that Hashem has given you das and you want to use it correctly, you're embarrassed. Look at myself. Look how distant I am from where I'm supposed to be. So the next thing you ask for is tshuva. Tshuva means I want to get back home. Once you're back home, once you're back in the palace, once you're back in the world of reality, like Isaac said, okay, so you want to want, and then you're there. And suddenly you look at yourself and say, what's going on? How can I be like this? So then you have to get rid of all the nastiness that goes on inside of you. I just want to finish off with a little observation. I go out there into America, whatever you come from, Colombia, whatever you guys, Canada, Canada, wherever you guys are from, I go there and I meet your parents. And every so often, I get accused of brainwashing. Me and my colleague get accused of brainwashing, which is ridiculous. Then he actually works in this place, knows it takes months and months and months just to find your brains. Never mind Washington. It's not so. The lo pashut. Okay. So fine. But the point is as follows: why is it? What is the magic of yeshiva? Why is it we're now over halfway through the year, and so many have made such huge changes? So what exactly is it? Is it Rabbi Roblowski, who secretly, you know what I mean? He whispers stuff into your ear and says, change, okay? And so for that, and it all happens, okay? Is that what's going on? Is it Rabbi David or Rabbi whatever Reichman screaming at you? Chuba, okay? What is happening over here? What exactly? Is it, you know? I think it's what, Rabbi Olshin or Rabbi Schneider, who somehow think of sports in a positive light, which is so incredibly strange. And then you know, what is the secret? The answer is none of the above. The answer is something very, very simple. Atachin la'adam das. Yeshiva, the single most powerful thing about yeshiva, has got nothing to do with the rabbin. It's got nothing to do with anything that is deceitful or anything that is clandestine or anything that's coming through the side door. The one thing that gives a person das is a melus v'tayra. You open up a Gemara, and the morning Seder, you got to use your brains, and you got to mamash kill yourself. And out of that, you figure out these difficult Gemaras, and you see the Rashi and the Tosfos, and then Tosfos doesn't make sense. And you find out that the Rashba argues with Tosfos, and then you try to figure out what's going on. At that point then, you are getting Das. Where's Ethan? You plug in. Oh, okay. You're plugging in to a Kodesh Baruch Hu's mind over here. And you're getting what's called Ruach HaKodesh, something from above. You're getting something called Das Elyon. So when you learn Gemara, once you get your Das, then on your own, you suddenly feel you have to get close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. The reason why your davening this year has got better is because you're learning Gemara in the mornings. It's just the most powerful thing. Sometimes, this is between us, I know this is what I'm saying, I teach in seminaries, and girls say, you know, what do? My, you know, I want to marry a Ben Torah, but I know that the boys that I know what they were doing in high school. I know the stuff that they, you know, whatever, something they say, I know the stuff they look at on the internet, of one of them. I know what goes on. How am I supposed to have a normal marriage with these people? So I tell them the following information. I say to them, I don't really, really know the answer. But one thing I can tell you is that the only draino that I know for the sick American teenage brain, all the problems that you kind of came in with, the only drainer that I know is a page of Gemara. How do I know this? Because when I was your age and I went to Rebbe Yashiv, I was 18 years old, and I went to Rebbe Yashiv, it was the first time that I thought maybe I should do something with my life. In high school, I went through my idiot years and doing my idiot things, and I asked Rebbe Yashiv, what do I do about all the garbage that is floating around in my brain? And he said to me the following words. I expect him to scream at me or give me mussar. He said, Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi Torah Tavlin. That's it. And Torah is the antidote. Torah is the spice that cleanses out and declogs all the problems that are going inside your brain. And here I am, 25 years later, and your rabbin over here can testify it's the only thing that's guaranteed to work. And there could be other systems. But Gemara, Be'ion, which is Atachainin La'adam Das. If we ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, give me that Das. Give me, when you're learning Gemara, you're getting something from above. You're asking for this Ruach HaKodesh through your oxes growing cows, or in your case, your Shlichim, Shlicha Kabbalah, and your Shlicha Halacha, and through these people and what's going on with the Get, you are getting a Kodesh Baruch Hu's mind, and then your brain is becoming cleansed, and you ask for tshuva. You want to get back on. You want to get back in track. And then you do the Sachin Chatan. It's nothing to do with us. The only thing that we are doing over here is trying to make Gemara attractive, and trying, especially in the mornings, where you're really being Omel B'Tera, you're doing things at the most advanced level, the way it's supposed to be. If we are making Geschmack for you, then all the rest happens on its own. There is no secret ingredient of how yeshivas are always successful. All it does is put you in front of a Gemara. The Gemara is giving you the Das. Das is the first of your 13 needs. From your Das, you get to Tshuva and you get to Slicha. The trilogy always follows that way. So I want to conclude and say at this point now, we're going now, as Josh said, we're going from the Shvat, from the Shevet Musar, we're going from the Zayin Bedima into the Birini Aksar, the beginnings, we're going into Purim, and everything that comes with that, to mekadosh the physical and all the stuff that's going in. So we should mechazik ourselves with learning. This Matzei Shabbos is the only time in our tefillos that we actually mention something from Megillas Esther. Is Layhudim Hoysoera B'Sinchas Salsin Yikah. Eira is Torah, and that's the first thing that we got there in Shushan, and we're getting it here in Yeshiva. And through the tshuva, through the Torah that we learn, it brings us to tshuva. It brings us to closest to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and ultimately, it brings us to the most beautiful thing in the world, which is the reality of what it means to be close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Thank you for listening. Shkaya to you. Shkaya, thank you.